pretty much, you know, right about now. All right, here we go. 7:55 was the track from Jesse Lanza. Hamilton gal, it's been doing DJing, electronic music, I think for the last 9 or 10 years out of Hamilton. I'm trying to remember. Yeah. Okay, so this is like a big set of music that we're going to hear. From Australia, Amel and the Sniffers, or Amy and the Sniffers. It's Amel, I think. I know my friend Bob Bignett is a huge fan. Well, I mean, he enjoys the band. Huge? I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too presumptuous on all of that. The track Guided by Angels. Also Pins with Serve the Rich. The Linda Lindas with the track Oh, which is really cool. I slipped in some La Tigre as well. I thought that went well with this set of music. Friendship Station was the track. Also, Ducks Limited, Always There. And a really cool track from Ann Station called Queens. I also had a request a little while ago, and I thought, you know, this might be the set of music to put it in. You know, I always think of this as a bridging song. Love Will Tear Us Apart, Joy Division. Thank God I didn't play that on the last show. So much rain when I did the pre-record. If I would have played that in the Smiths, whoo, daddy. Nobody would have got out of bed if they heard that mix. David Holmes with Hope Is the Last Thing to Die, featuring Raven. Really cool track. I dig that. 80 sounded a track from Yola called Blame, but kicking things off, the new one from Elbow called Starlings. And I'm digging it. I'm digging it. It might sneak its way in again. Check it out. You're hanging out with Gunner on Steel City Music.
Second on my list of things to do. At the top is stopping by your place of work and acting like I haven't dreamed of you and I and marriage in an orange grove. You are the only thing in any room you're ever in. I'm stubborn, selfish and too old. Love that's ever found is for oneself. You pulled apart my theory with a weary and disinterested sigh. So yes, I guess I'm asking you to back a horse that's good for glue and nothing else.
find a man that's true, then find a man that needs you more than I. Sit with me a while and let me listen to you talk about your dreams and your obsessions. I'll be quiet and confessional. The violets explode inside me when I meet your eyes. Then I'm spinning and I'm diving like a cloud of stars. Darling, is this love?
once he got out of jail, he was gone.
He took off for Nashville.
Down in Music City, Paycheck scraped by as a backup musician, playing with everyone from Porter Wagoner to George Jones.
He was kind of like a country music Mozart. You know, he played guitar, lead guitar, and steel and drums, and he was an excellent bass player. Probably the best in Nashville in his day.
Oh, this used to be our favorite night spot.
He was a great singer.
And she was here. It was heaven.
Next time I'd seen him was he'd come back and he'd change his name to Donnie Young.
Donnie Young wasn't exactly burning up the charts, so he decided he would change his act.
Back in them days, there was a Johnny Dollar and
Johnny Cash and Johnny Western.
Donnie's manager, figuring he'd cash in on the Johnny trend, recalled an obscure Polish boxer, Johnny Paycheck, with a K.
From that point on, I mean, he totally believed he was Johnny Paycheck. You couldn't talk him out of saying, okay, Donnie, or every time you'd call him Donnie, he'd get mad at you. I think he had an identity crisis.
He legally changed his name to Johnny Paycheck, and his career took off. But deep down inside, he was still Hubcap Donnie.
Paycheck was playing with Patsy Cline.
Crazy.
Paycheck stole Patsy Cline's car.
I think that was down in Texas someplace. Big country music park, and he got drinking. He found her keys, and he just went out and got in her car and took off. And when he get to the gate, they would shut the gate on him. There was only one entrance to it. They said, just let him go. He can't get out. And he went past that gate a half a dozen times, and he just drove around and around and around inside the park. But eventually, it ran out of gas.
He had a total disregard for the law when he was drinking.
Old habits die hard, but somehow he managed to pick up a new one.
There was like a couple of 24-hour pharmacists there in Nashville, you know what I mean. The drug of choice back then was the Old Yellers. We'd go to the jam sessions, and Paycheck was always up there playing bass. Well, we'd stay up for 3 or 4 days just to get in tune, and then jam for 3 or 4 more.
Between the speed binges and stints in jail, Paycheck found himself broke and homeless. Then he met a man named Swamp Dog.
excuse me. My song I wrote, Don't Take Her, She's All I Got, single-handedly put Johnny Paycheck on the map, because he wasn't nowhere near the map.
Let me tell you now.
Single did a load of sales. People were buying the hell out of it. We made a fortune with that money. But anyway, I digress.
And they hauled them off. And anyhow, went down to get them out the next morning and had to pay the fine. Paycheck didn't even have a shirt on. I had to go to court without a shirt. I mean, it's in Canada, and that little deal there where they off to get up and all hail the queen, something like that. Paycheck went like, the queen.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
We'll be right back.
Nous sommes tous seuls dans cet ensemble. We'll be right back. in light of The Hangover, when that thing blew up, I just thought, boy, Zach must feel like this is the greatest thing that ever happened to him.
Well, that's where I'm like, I don't feel like actors are honest with the public when they talk about fame and all that stuff.
Will you be honest?
I always try to be as much as I can without revealing my height. So had that happened to me, had that Hangover when I was 25, I would be like, let's party. Like, but I was 40.
Yeah.
And I was pretty, like, I had a personality. I knew who I was. And I was not about to go be the 25-year-old version of myself. I was just trying to be honest. I was threatened by it because I thought I couldn't, was not going to be able to be funny anymore because I was going to be suffocated by trying to leave restaurants because people just sit down with you.
Because you were 40 and unknown. You had an anonymous life for the most part.
I was doing stand-up and had a few people that knew my stand-up, a very few.
Right.
And that was really the very good comfort level for me. And I'd always heard, like, oh, God, your life is going to be wonderful. Well, I don't hang out in the Hamptons. That doesn't interest me.
That wasn't
like,
you?
No. Like, that might be good for all the pretty people. Like, I've got successful. Let's go put on our fedoras and go to the Hamptons. That doesn't seem interesting to me. Or any of it. But I also thought, oh, the biggest bummer for me was, oh, I'm not going to be able to observe people like I used to and sit in the corner with my dumb notebook. Because that, if I'm speaking honest, is a big shift that's hard on the person you're dating.
Right.
Who ended up being my wife, your family. My family used to love it. And then they were like, oh, God. Like, they got annoyed by strangers just sitting down with us.
So literally, people just sit down at your table.
Oh, because they think they know you. It's an asymmetrical relationship.
Right.
And they also think you're the person. So people are sending me drinks. I got drinks sent to me because it's the Hangover movie.
Right.
And if you admit to people that you're the person, I've gone to a Halloween. I was in a downtown Halloween party in Albuquerque, and this kid was dressed just like me. I was dressed like the real me, and I was like, but he was dressed like the guy from The Hangover. And I go, you're me. He goes, yeah, right. And he just, like, when you tell them that's you, they don't believe you. It's so weird. So the whole, and, you know, my brother and says, my dad and mom are like, your attitude is bad, Zach. Like, they were like, you're lucky. And they're right. My mom said, she goes, well, you should have been careful what you wish for. That's what she said to me when I was complaining about the tour. I was like, well. And then eventually she got it because, she, over the years or two, she's like, oh, this is an inconvenience.
Right.
What's the opposite of preface?
Suffice.
Let me suffice it by saying I'm incredibly appreciative. Also with pictures, like with social media, like, I just don't do it because I don't believe in social media. I would love to talk to people for 10 minutes and really have an exchange with them instead of like a photo for their face. But no one's interested in that.
Well, now they will be. Now you've told them.
I'm not interested in that either.
Let's be clear. I was speaking metaphorically.
Oh, the message boards are lighting up.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
All gives in.
I've been a fan of yours a long time, and I actually got your first record right when it came out, and was aware of you, you know, as you made records, and thought I knew you just based on the music you were putting out, and then you wrote this book recently called Horror Stories, and I realized I didn't know you at all, and it's fascinating to get a different perspective from inside an artist's experience, because right off the bat in the prologue you say, my songs have been stories that are like diary entries and ways to express my feelings and look at my feelings, and the book itself is incredibly confessional and incredibly private. And I wondered what the impetus was for deciding to write that confessionally about things that you never had an obligation to tell anybody.
And yet, at the same time, I meet so many people that tell me their personal stories because of my music, and I have been lucky enough to hear from fans that really have carried me through some of the darkest times of their life and used me as like a friend or a comfort or some kind of sense of that I'm there for them. My music is there for them, and that I speak in a way to the things that they can't speak about. And I think I've always carried that with me from the very beginning as a sense of obligation, that people come to me looking for some kind of sense of not being alone, or that they are seen or heard or felt. And music has been that way for me as well, like my favorite artists. So I think that I've always had a sense, ever since I put out Exile in Guyville, that people were looking to me for more than just a great song or a great album. There was something more that they responded to in the way I presented myself and that they needed from me. And I think that in the world, there's too little of it. There's too little of a sense of, you know, we're in this together, and that it's tough to be a human being, and that the plight of humanity is the same at every level. I think that's something that I like to speak about and make art about, just our humanity, our shared humanity, the things that we all have in common.
You're listening to Steel City Music. We'll be right back.
free, and you must be out of your mind. To think you're the first person to say that, you're not even the first one today. Don't worry about the scan. I'll type in the product code and charge you double. I swear, I fake laugh at this job so much, I forget how my real one sounds.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
You're listening to CIOI The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Doom, 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 doom. Hey, you're listening to Steel City Music, and I am your host, Gunner. In this hour of Steel City Music, three bands: Underwater Sunshine, Droids Osaka, and A Day's Wait. Yes, three Canadiana bands. All right, so how many songs I got here from Day's Wait to kick things off? We got here 2, 4, 5. Okay, we're going to do 5 songs from A Day's Wait. Trevor and Adam. Adam Alfano, who used to be in Wallstar, and Trevor Zebarth, who's in Sons of Butcher and Moonlight Desires. 80s collaboration. And I've interviewed both of those cats on Steel City Music over the years. So it's nice to keep track of their careers. Does that make sense? Sure, whatever. Anyway, tracks you're going to hear from Day's Wait, 80s style of music, and you'll hear the influences. You're going to hear Lost Anyway, Living Lights, Clues, and Back to You. But starting things off, this was they call it the B-side of a demo, and I'm like, really? I think it's pretty lead single material for me, you know? So, but who am I to judge? Who are any of us to judge music, really? We like what we like, and we don't like what we don't like. I like this song, so that's why I'm, you know, kicking things off. It's a B-side song, they call it. Not off a demo. So there you go. So, oh, there's the keys right there, folks. Huh? Told you about that whole 80s thing. A Day's Wait, kicking off this set of music with the track Ties That Bind.